From the independent producer project of KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
So, I have a weird question for you.
It was Helen. She was eyeing me as she drove.
You're going to think I'm crazy.
I didn't. I thought she was magnificent. It was January. We were at work driving the campus security truck, patrolling our university with the heat on. Our uniforms were big, puffy green coats with public safety written on the back. I got the job as a fluke. I was not very authoritative. Most of my coworkers spent their shifts busting kids for smoking weed. Me? I'd use my keys to sneak into a classroom and do homework or watch Netflix. Helen was a few years older than me and as bad of a fake cop as I was, even though she didn't get the job as a fluke. I think it was because she didn't mind graveyard shifts and because she had a thing for cops. She was a punk rock pirate who had no trouble confronting wrongdoers, only instead of citations, she handed out advice on how to be more discreet in illicit activities. Her entire head was braided at the root with red, black, and purple ribbons that went all down her back. Her ears and face were shackled by piercings I'd never even seen before. For some reason, she took a liking to me, too, and claimed me as her new friend. When we weren't at work, she showed me her favorite anime films. I watched her debate queer and feminist theory with men. She taught me how to take tequila shots and defended me from lecherous drunks at her favorite dive bars. Helen was my friend, and she was also everything I wanted to be. I couldn't fathom what someone like her could possibly see in someone like me. I grew up fat and Mormon, with the mantra, "Modest is hottest," drilled into my head at an early age. My regular-sized peers struggled to keep modesty standards, wanting desperately to wear tank tops and shorts that went above the knee. I, on the other hand, was perfectly content to keep my soft arms, wide legs, and jiggly stomach covered and protected. Oversized clothes were my armor of choice. When I went swimming in the summer, my shirt stayed on. In elementary school, I perfected the art of changing for gym class underneath my baggy shirts. I hated the jiggle in my thighs and the folds in my belly, and I had every reason to assume that everyone else did too. One year, I remember using my birthday money to buy a thick yellow Billabong hoodie that I wore with baggy jeans every day. It was late August in Montana, temperatures well into the 90s, and even though I was constantly sweating, I felt secure knowing that my fat pubescent body was obscured by heavy fleece. In high school, I made a rare attempt to change my wardrobe, and I bought a pair of fashionable low-rise blue jeans. I refer to this now as my muffin top era. They were old navy flared diva stretch jeans with strategic rips on the pockets and on the knees. I can still feel my mom gripping them by the belt loop and hoisting them up behind me, or tugging down my t-shirts to cover my lower back fat. In a sing-songy voice, she'd say something like, "You're really too chunky to be wearing jeans like that." She'd say it in a tone that let me know that it came from a place of love, maybe a little bit of shame too.
"Bethany Jo, no one wants to see that."
Better I hear it from her than from someone else.
Bethany Jo.
In college, on that cold winter night, wearing our puffy green coats in the public safety truck, Helen worked up her courage. I thought she might be about to proposition me, and she was, but not in that way. Helen started telling me about this millionaire she knew. His name was Simon. He'd been a tech guy back in the dot-com bubble doing something complicated with computers. It was the 90s, and he'd made a fortune before the whole dot-com bubble burst. And now Simon was rich and living the good life. And he'd found some fundamental truth about the world through nudism. Or naturism, really. That's what Helen said that he called it. I wasn't sure where this was going, but I also knew that Helen was one to dabble in the radical act of recreational nudity. To date, the only people who had ever seen me naked were my mom, my doctor, and a guy that I had had sex with just once. At that point, it had been only 3 years since I'd lost my faith in God and stopped thinking of myself as a Mormon. I'd left the church at least in part because I wasn't satisfied with the life it afforded me. Church, marriage, children, that's it. Away from the church, a whole world of possibility opened up to me, but I didn't know where to start. I'd felt lost since then, casting about for non-Mormon role models, brave, confident, adventurous women like Helen. Helen wrapped up her backstory about Simon, the millionaire.
And each summer, he does these week-long retreats in California, and I've been going to them for the last 2 years.
And then she asked me,
"Do you want to go on an all-expenses-paid nudist vacation with me this summer?"
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
breasts slapped on the water like breaching whales.
The podcast about
the unknown.
Helen and I didn't pay luggage fees. My carry-on was so small that it could fit under the seat in front of me, but most of the time I just held it on my lap. A toothbrush, a pair of sunglasses, an extra pair of underwear. We didn't even bring sunblock. After I'd accepted Helen's offer, she explained the sunblock situation. Simon, the nude millionaire, the dot-com disciple of naturism, the financier of our vacation, was the sole sunblock supplier. He had to be. After all, Simon had a vision to spread the gospel of naturism. He was the king of sunblock. Helen had the middle seat, and I sat at the window. She leaned over to me and whispered,
"Remember, you need to apply sunblock everywhere. I missed my butt crack on the first year I was here, and that's a hell I never want to relive."
I laughed with her, nervous, and tugged at my sundress. It was a new sundress, only the second time I'd ever worn it. Black cotton with floral ribbon along the seams. I was self-conscious about my bare white legs, but I knew they'd change after a week in the sun. I don't know what I was expecting, but California was hot. I watched the crunchy brown mountains pass through the taxi windows while the AC blasted in futility. Helen chatted with the driver, told him we were here to be nudists. He'd already guessed as much since we'd given him the address of the resort. I caught his eye in the rearview mirror, smiled, and looked away.
"Watch out for Chester the Molester."
Chester the Molester was the name my mom gave to Stranger Danger, her way of telling me to watch out for those who might hurt me. I didn't have any reason to doubt the intentions of our cab driver, but my mother's voice echoed in my head regardless.
"Chester."
A small part of me considered waiting for the next stoplight, pulling open the door, and running. We arrived at the resort. It was encased in high stucco walls. Across the street was a strip mall with a dollar store and a liquor store. I peeled the exposed parts of my sweating legs off the black leather seat of the taxi cab. In the lobby, there was a young woman in a blue polo and khaki shorts, with the resort logo embroidered on her breast and a name tag. She stood behind the counter in what looked like a typical hotel lobby, outfitted with racks of sunglasses and decorative sarongs. To the left of the counter was a man with leathery tan skin. The hair on his head was long on the sides and bald on top. He wore thick sunglasses and a thick wristwatch and thick black sandals. And nothing else. Tall and hairy, with a protruding belly. He had a small, flat butt that looked exactly what you'd think it might look like. He stood there with one hand on the counter, one hand on his waist. I couldn't help but glance down at his genitals. This naked man looked at us as we entered, emotionless, and Helen said,
"Hey, Simon."
Without a smile, he nodded.
"You made it in okay time, although I thought you might get here closer to 20 minutes ago."
He eyed his watch. That's the thing about Simon. He was a numbers guy, and in his head he held the approximate travel and arrival times of all 20-plus guests he had invited to the resort that year. Simon scheduled everything, even leisure time. Once we were checked in, Simon, the disciple of naturism, invited us back to his headquarters to meet the others. For a millionaire nudist, Simon's accommodations were unpretentious. The wicker furniture was bleached and dated, accented with pastel floral cushions. The art on the walls looked like unremarkable hotel decor from the 90s. We entered the room and were greeted by a handful of friendly naked people sitting on towels on the couch. The coffee table in front of them was completely covered by a collection of sunblocks. Helen and I smiled politely. I avoided making eye contact with unfamiliar genitals. And Simon let us know that we could get ready upstairs. The time had come to get naked. Before we even got into the room, Helen was pulling her shirt up over her head. I followed her lead, pulled my sundress over my head, balled it up, and stuffed it into my purse. My instinct was to cover my soft, cellulite-pecked belly with my arms.
"Cute panties,"
Helen called as she pulled down her own and kicked them off. I giggled nervously and continued to strip down. And then we were both naked. I held my towel in front of me like a fancy waiter at a fancy restaurant. I crossed my other arm in front of my breasts, sacrificing my butt to the open air. Helen grinned at me and lowered her sunglasses over her eyes. I followed Helen into the sun, naked as Eve. There was flesh everywhere. Enormous back tattoos that could be easily hidden under business suits. Penises hidden inside foreskin atop waxed scrotums. Vulvas obscured by mounds of thick pubic hair. Black skin, brown skin, dangerously red Caucasian skin. And more butts that looked exactly right, like that part in 101 Dalmatians where the dogs all matched their owners. The butts all matched their owners. I was nervous, but it was a beautiful relief to watch other women walk, the fat in their bodies swaying and jiggling the way mine did. Gradually, I stopped holding my towel in front of me like a French waiter. I let my arms drop and allowed my full naked self to join the sea of flesh. I exhaled, and I stopped wondering when Chester the Molester would snatch me up.
Chester the Molester.
I spent a week poolside, slathering myself with sunscreen, an inevitable redness deepening across my body. At night, Helen and I broke off petals from the abundant aloe vera plants and peeled the sticky jelly from inside, and later she slathered it on my back. I learned to wear napkins on my lap at mealtime to avoid crumbs getting caught in my pubic hair. I played water volleyball, and my breasts slapped on the water like breaching whales. I felt new affection for my body as I cared for it in a new way, and stopped being so afraid of my fatness. When I showered, I wrapped a towel around me and covered my naked body out of instinct before I remembered that, oh yeah, I don't do that here. And I would laugh at myself and let the towel fall, and then dry off outside in the hot breeze. On the last night, Simon hosted a party in the resort's appropriately named Grand Ballroom. There was an open bar and karaoke. Some of the older guests clapped and cheered while Helen and I sang to the Spice Girls. And later we all danced to decade-old top 40 hits. Even Simon, popping from foot to foot, offbeat, arms at his side, not smiling at all, even though I think he was having fun. The next morning felt like the end of summer camp. Simon's group of novice nudists all packed at different times, and I saw the clothes that people had arrived in. Some surprised me, others were exactly what I expected. Still naked, I hugged fully clothed new friends. And when it was time to get dressed again, I retrieved my purse to find my crumpled up sundress. A week ago, it had felt revealing. Now the light cotton felt heavy and oppressive. When I got home to Washington, I went right into my bedroom, shut the door, drew the shades, and took off all my clothes again. A few weeks later that summer, I drove the 10 hours back to my hometown in Montana. It was a social visit to see some familiar faces. And there was one in particular that I thought of. My best friend's mom, Karen. Karen was a single and badass mother. She was my first Helen, so to speak, my first non-Mormon role model. Karen took me to rock concerts, let me drink wine at the dinner table. Back before Helen, Karen was the one encouraging me to take risks and live as an adventurer. I didn't plan to tell Karen about my recent vacation, unsure how she'd take it, but I was excited to see her, and for her to see the new me. Montana was hot. I wore sundresses with confidence and sunbathed with my friends in just a swimsuit. I even dared to drop my shoulder straps down. It felt like I was making up for lost time, letting my skin drink in the beautiful Montana sunshine that it had missed out on the 18 years I lived there. On a particularly hot night, I went to my best friend's house for dinner. Karen made the three of us turkey sandwiches, and we ate them together in the living room while some absurd HGTV design show played on the TV. Some couple was renovating a bungalow they had just bought in Southern California. And without thinking, I blurted out,
"I was just there. You were just in California? What for?"
I tensed up. I felt like a kid caught in a lie.
I was at a resort. I went with my friend.
I stammered, my face red. Karen noticed.
A resort, huh? That's exciting. What resort?
My best friend looked at me but didn't say anything. We could both tell that this conversation was going off the rails.
It was like this clothing optional thing, like a nudist resort. You went to a nudist resort? How did you end up there?
There was a lump in my throat, and I blurted out perhaps the worst thing I could have possibly said in this situation.
So, first of all, I am not a prostitute.
Karen's eyes got wide and her jaw dropped.
Excuse me?
But it was too late.
No, okay. I mean, it's not like that at all. So there's this eccentric millionaire that just wants to recruit people for naturism. That's what he calls nudism, naturism. But that's all. It's not sexual. It's just he has the money to spare and he doesn't really have a family or anything. And he just wants to grow the nudist community. And so he plans these trips and lets people come for free and he pays for everything. So he's paying 20-year-old girls to go get naked for him.
My voice got shaky.
No. I mean, it's not like that. It's not like a sexual thing at all. He's like asexual or something. He's just this millionaire who loves nudism and wants other people to love it too. It wasn't just us. There were lots of people there and I made friends.
My best friend stood up at that point, avoiding my gaze. She knew I was digging myself a hole.
It was a good experience for me. I feel like I'm happier about my body, like I'm not as self-conscious as I used to be.
So you needed to get naked in front of strangers to feel better about yourself?
The words stung.
No, it wasn't like that at all. It was good. I made friends with other women. It was fun.
Don't you think there are better ways to love your body than to be naked for strangers?
Karen spoke, but in her words I could hear my own mom's voice. My heart dropped, and I couldn't help but plead with Karen.
Please, don't tell my mom.
We went back and forth like this for a while. Eventually, Karen just hugged me and told me she loved me.
I worry about you sometimes, little bee. You're an experiential learner, and what if, say, you decide you want to try heroin so that you know what it feels like?
The tears were falling heavy now, and I worried that Karen would never see me the same way. I begged her again.
Please, just don't tell my mom.
I stayed the night at their house and left in the morning, saying I had a breakfast date. But in truth, I just wanted to get out of there as soon as possible. So I left. I drove around my hometown aimlessly.
Bethany Jo, no one wants to see that.
My mom and I have come a long way over the course of my 20s. We've talked a lot about some of the things that she used to say to me as a kid. And I know now that a lot of it was an effort to protect me from a world that hates fat women's bodies. She's relaxed in her convictions of how women should dress and behave, or at least how I should dress and behave. She calls me her funky daughter, with a tone that resembles pride. and when she can't help but fidget with or adjust whatever funky clothes I'm wearing, I let her do it because sometimes it just feels good to be mothered. My relationship with Karen was never really the same after our confrontation. We still love each other, deeply, and in retrospect, I can't blame her. I understand her negative reaction and I wish I'd expressed myself better, but I worry that she still worries that I spent a summer as a prostitute. Simon the Millionaire invited Helen and me back to the resort the next summer, and we even brought more friends with us, new recruits. Being naked in the sun for a second summer felt as good as it had the first. Helen and I are still great friends, though her edges have softened a bit since our college days, and now our relationship is less of a hero worship and more of an equal friendship. She has long, straight brown hair now, and some of her more extravagant piercings have healed over. She laments this to me sometimes, tells me about her loss of danger and badassery, but I found that with a couple tequila shots, she can convert back into the punk rock pirate I fell in love with back in the days when we drove the campus security truck and wore puffy green coats to work. It's been 7 years now since Helen first propositioned naturism, to me in the cab of the truck. And in case you're wondering, I've still never told my mom about the two naked summers I spent in the sun. I don't think Karen ever did either. But cat's out of the bag now, right? Hi, Mom. Hope you laugh. This episode was written and produced by me, Bethany Denton. It was edited by Jeff Emptman, along with help from Nick White, both of whom, I suspect, have butts that look exactly the way that you'd think they would. Right now on our website, we have some artistic renderings of what I saw at the nudist resort. Check us out at hbmpodcast.com. If you like the show, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. And if you don't like the show, you can tweet your complaints to @mysunburnedbuttcrack. Music on this episode from Nim, Half Ghost, and Lucky Dragons. Here Be Monsters is part of the independent producer project from KCRW. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.